Friends, grace and peace to you, and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church. We're glad to have all of you worshiping with us this morning. A special welcome to visitors and guests. We're glad you're here and do hope you feel welcome. If at any time you'd like to learn more about our church or give us a chance to know you better, you're welcome to fill out a Let's Get Acquainted card found in the seat rack in front of you. You can place that in the offering plate as it passes by later in worship. All are welcome to leave prayer requests this way. At this time, I'd also encourage you to sign the friendship pads that are scattered throughout the sanctuary. Please sign your name and pass to your neighbor so you can learn any new names and greet people during the peace or following worship. And then please do pass those friendship pads back across the aisle from where they came. And now I'd like to draw your attention to the announcements we have on the inside cover of our bulletin. And I'd like to open it up to any of you who have announcements to stand and share with the church.
Thank you so much. I just wanted to underscore the fact that we'll be packing the hygiene kits on Tuesday. How about, would you be willing to stand if you've ever come and helped pack? Stand up, please. Okay, that's six of us. We need to have about six people. How about standing up again if you plan to come this time? Okay, you see we have a couple of openings. So we would love to have you come. It's very simple, and it's a fun time to be together. We make a difference to Presbyterian disaster assistance, and it's also a great opportunity to be with the residents at the gardens. So please feel free to join us. Thank you.
Thank you, Jean, and what a great way to get volunteers. We might start doing this for church attendance for weeks following. Are there any other announcements? There are three quick things I want to highlight for you this morning. Next Sunday will be a busy week. Following worship, we will have an inquirer's lunch. This is for any people who are trying to learn what it means to be a part of our church, either new visitors, longtime visitors, anyone you know might benefit from this. Please feel free to encourage and invite them. We're taking reservations just to get a count for lunch. We hope some of you will put that on your calendars. It is also Super Bowl Sunday, and we spell that a couple of different ways. One is spelled as in soup in the things that you eat. Our youth will be collecting a special offering that goes to benefit the Chattanooga Area Food Bank, including feeding programs here in Dalton. So we hope that you will give to support this important work in our community. And then the Super Bowl, that's super just with a U, young adult party will be at 6 p.m. at the O'Gwen's house. There are details, if not here in the bulletin, in the newsletter, and we'll be sure to send something out later this week. Here, of course, we are gathered to worship and to celebrate what God is doing in our midst. Let us worship God and begin our worship by sharing a sign of Christ's peace. The peace of Christ be with you all. Let's share the peace of Christ with our neighbors.
please stand for the call to worship? The heavens are telling the glory of God,
and the firmament proclaims his handiwork.
Day to day pours forth speech,
and night to night declares knowledge.
There is no speech, nor are there words.
Their voice is not heard.
Yet their voice goes throughout all the earth.
And their words to the end of the world.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord.
Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
And let us pray. Holy God, this is the time, this is the place you have set aside for worship. And so we are here to meet you. Help us to receive the gift of your word through our reading, singing, praying, and through the hands of the person next to us, that we might become a part of the body of Christ and find our life in you through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
may be seated. The proof of God's amazing love is this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have faith in him, we dare to approach God in confidence. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sins, and whose mercy we forget in the blindness of our hearts, cleanse us from all our offenses and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that with reverent and humble hearts we may draw near to you, confessing our faults, confiding in your grace, and finding in you a refuge and strength. Through Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. Hear the good news. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed your sins from you. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Now I'd like to invite the children to come forward and join me on the steps for our time together in worship. Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. I have to apologize at the beginning. I don't have any props for us today. It's nothing to play with up here. Did you make a picture? Looks good. Oh, good. Oh. I have a question for you all this morning. I've actually got a few questions for you. How old is everyone here?
Seven.
Seven? Four.
Seven.
Seven, four, five. I think you're three. Five. All right, I've got some more questions for you. Well, let's see. How tall is everyone? Do you know how tall you are?
Yes.
How tall are you?
Almost four.
That's impressive, you know that. Some of us are taller than others, right? Okay. What color eyes does everyone have?
Brown, blue.
Okay, we have different color eyes. Hey, let's sit down here, okay? All right. I've got a couple more questions for you, which maybe fewer than a couple now. Let's see. What grade is everyone in? First grade, pre-K. Some of us are in preschool, that's right. Okay. Last question. Let's see. What's everyone's favorite color?
Pink.
Pink? Gold. That's interesting. Purple. Blue. That's my favorite color, too. Turquoise. Oh, that's very specific. Okay. So it sounds like for all these questions, we have different answers, right? We have a lot of things that are different about us. So if we have so many things that are different about us, why are we all here? What brings us all here together at the same time? Why don't you come sit with me? Here we go. What brings us all here together at the same time? All right. What do we talk about every week? Jesus, that's exactly right. You know, I tell the grown-ups when we have Sunday school together that the answer is usually Jesus. We come here every week because we recognize that God has put us here. And that no matter what we have that's different about us, how we look, how old we are, the things we like, where we're from, anything you can think of, that none of those things measure up against the fact that God loves us and God has brought us here. So no matter how different we feel, or no matter how different we are from everyone else out there, we recognize that we have one thing about us that we all have in common, and that's the most important thing of all, and that's that God loves us. So thank you for your help in answering the questions, and maybe that's one of the things you'll talk about upstairs too. Will you have a prayer with me? We're almost done here. Can we put our hands together and close our eyes? And we'll have a prayer, and you can repeat after me. Dear God, we thank you for bringing us here. No matter how different we are, remind us of your love and all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, hold still for 1 second as we say goodbye. As we dismiss our children to their time together in worship, let us bless them, saying, God be with you there, and God be with you here.
As we prepare to hear God's words for us in Scripture, let us pray. Loving God, you have made us that we cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. Give us a hunger for your word, and in that food satisfy our longing through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first Scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 4. Listen for God's word. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth. This is a church that has been torn by any sort of conflict you can imagine. So Paul tells them that what unites them is much more powerful than their divisions. From 1 Corinthians chapter 12, listen for God's word to you. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot were to say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? As it is, God arranged members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seemed to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, by your Spirit, knit us together into the body of Christ. We would hear your word and in hearing live it. Through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Jean Vanier knew something about community. Vanier was a notable Canadian philosopher and Catholic scholar, and he was puzzled about the way that the church treated people with developmental disabilities. He'd been influenced by relationships with other priests who cared with this community, and so he decided that he was going to build a religious community that made sure that people with developmental disabilities were fully incorporated into the life of the church. This became his life's work. He formed a community called L'Arche. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that correctly. I don't speak French, but maybe you can correct me. And what this practice of community building did was it gave Vanier perspective on the challenges that came with building any sort of community, particularly a religious one. And so he decided that there are three phases to community life. At the beginning of a community, everything is wonderful. People are excited to be a part of what's happening. Everyone you see is a saint. That's phase one. Phase two, everything is terrible. It's an awful experience. The people are devils. That's phase two. Real community begins in the third stage, where there's a clear-eyed assessment of strengths and weaknesses, excitement and disappointment, joy and sorrow, sinners and saints, all together. This is when real community begins. This is true for friendship. When the initial ease of companionship and common interest goes through the challenge of an argument and then comes out the other side and some real relationship can happen as a result. Or it's like marriage, where after the romance and the honeymoon are over, the hard work of being married begins and grows into a relationship of flawed people and shared commitment of love despite its challenges. This is true in being a part of a church. We're following the excitement of attachment and commitment, that feeling of this is the place. Then there's a period of disenchantment that sets in. You think to yourself, these people aren't heroes. They're hypocrites. They're just like me. I didn't come to join a church of people just like me. Some people never leave the disenchantment phase, but when they do, they grow to see a church for what it really is. It's a community that's always in progress. It's one that can always grow and is defined by what it grows toward. So these are the questions of community that would have been swirling for the early church in Corinth and for the Apostle Paul as he's writing to them. The Corinthian church had made it through that initial phase of excitement and growth and delight and novelty and has moved into a rather prolonged period of disillusionment. So a lot of this letter is Paul responding to a litany of problems that have appeared in the church. There's factionalism. There are some people who think they're more important than others based on who baptized them. There are problems and qualifications for church leadership. There are questions about what appropriate relationships looks like. There are questions about marriage. There's food being sacrificed to idols. There are exclusionary practices between rich and poor. Basically, any problem that we could imagine facing a church in the ancient world is bubbling up to the surface in Corinth. So it's not hard to imagine then that in the midst of all this change and disillusionment, there's conflict. Some members of the church have exerted themselves thinking that they have special gifts, that their talents and their specialness should allow them to direct where the church should go. They have spiritual gifts like the ability to speak in tongues or prophesy or preach, and this, they think, gives them the spiritual authority to lead. Maybe they had strong personalities. Maybe they were powerful in their lives away from church. So all of this has made Corinth a tense and divided community. So the summary is, it's a mess. And the Apostle Paul is trying to sort it all out. So Paul says, I know there are differences among you. I know that some of you have special gifts and talents that make you stick out. Some of you are strong and some of you are important. Some of you are weak and you wonder what difference your presence makes. But instead of harping on your differences, maybe you can think about what unites you. You're like a body. Each part is important because it's a part of the body. Everyone has a role, and every role is important. And so far, this argument would have sounded familiar to the people in Corinth. Comparing a community to a kind of body was a common rhetorical practice in the ancient world, and usually it was meant to show that some members of the body were more important than others, and those are the ones who ought to be in charge. So unsurprisingly, this kind of rhetoric was usually used to shore up existing social and political relationships that benefited powerful people. So the Corinthians, sitting in church just like you, listening to this letter, would have expected something similar. Those powerful and charismatic folks sitting on the front row would have sat up a little and started looking pleased. Those Presbyterians in the back would have been winding up their eyes for an eye roll. We're getting ready to slip out the door. Here comes Paul, they would think, like any other person in authority, coming up with another way to put all us regular people in our place. that's not what he says. First, he says, you are one body. This means that your differences, although important, never supersede this essential fact about you. That no matter how you perceive yourself, great or small, strong or weak, accomplished or struggling, what is most true about you is that you belong to Jesus Christ. Second, God has arranged this body. So what difference does it make if we would arrange it differently? Do you really think that God is as hung up on your flaws as you are? Third, God has arranged the body so that everything is shared. Everything matters based on how it affects the whole. Weakness or strength, joy and sorrow, all of these things belong to the body. And so these three interrelated points turn around the expectations of the people who are listening. Instead of hearing that the body is meant to justify a difference in status, the people would have heard Paul declare that their differences are just what make them a community. Fortunately, we do not belong to a church that is as divided as Corinth, although maybe the experience of being in a divided community is familiar. So most of the time here, you can show up to church and you say hello to the people you know. You have a cup of coffee and maybe a donut, which you've noticed are all of a sudden really good. And you sit down and worship. You sing the hymns, you say the prayers, you listen, maybe you doze. You know that the church is going to be here and that this work is going to go on with or without you. And it's a comforting thought. But then you wonder. You wonder what would happen if you didn't show up one week, or then the next one, and then the one after that. Maybe someone would call you and say, we haven't seen you in a while. How are things going? But let's say it's been a few weeks and the phone is silent and you've run into some people at the grocery store and you liked a church post on Facebook, but all of a sudden you've realized that your participation in the life of the church is not only optional, but maybe it's unnecessary. You wonder, how in the world did they browbeat me into serving on that committee all those years ago? Or you ask, what did we accomplish together that was worth all of those nights away from home? And you think there are other people, involved people, people without time constraints, maybe people who believe a little bit more deeply or authentically, and the church will go along fine without me because we have those people. Maybe you really need this place. Sometimes it can be hard to make it here. It's hard when you've gone through a week meeting all your commitments and you feel like Sunday is just one more box you have to check. You know you can get out of it, but the guilt is going to follow you home and you're just going to sit there with it. Or it's hard when you've had a bad week or dealing with something that no one knows about and you can't imagine having to face all those smiling people eating their donuts who have gotten it together long enough just to go to church and even be excited about it. Or maybe it's hard just when Sunday is the one day of the week you have to sleep in. So I want to pause for a minute. The point of this is not to make you feel guilty about the times when you can't be here on Sunday. I want to tell you a secret about that. You always feel worse about that than I do. So you don't need to apologize. Really, what this is about is, I think, a tendency that's common to all of us sometimes, which is that there are times in our lives when we might feel disconnected or somehow unimportant to the body of Christ. You might feel accidental to what goes on here. It's easy to go through seasons of deep connections where everything feels like it's going right, like phase one of a community. And then you can go through a season where you feel defeated or disconnected. Maybe you've gone through enough of those in your life that you know not to sweat it. God's going to show up eventually and you'll come back. But when you're in that time of distance or disconnect, when God feels far away, sometimes the last thing you want to do is being at a church celebrating something you don't even know if you believe sometime, And it's easy then to go on and think that your presence doesn't really matter. Because what difference does the church make, any church, our church, against all the need in our community? What difference does it make with one more person praying or singing or giving? You wonder, would anyone notice if I wasn't here? So there are some churches you go to, or maybe some communities you've belonged to, where it's obvious who the leaders are. They're loud, they're prestigious, they have presence about them. If they were to tell you something about God, you might listen. I'm not sure that's most of our experience, because most of any other community is made up of different sorts of people. If we were to borrow Paul's metaphor for a minute, imagine if you, a humble person, were to think of yourself as the member of a body. Maybe you are a fourth metatarsal, that is, a toe. And as a toe, you look up at the hand and you think, I wonder what it would be like to be up there. Important, visible, significant for daily use. And then you, as a fourth metatarsal, look at your neighbor, the third metatarsal. You think, I wonder what it would be like to be in the middle of things like that. And then you ask yourself, would anyone notice if I wasn't here? To which the person whose toe you were would say, yes, I would. It's a silly way to put it, and not very funny because you didn't laugh. But maybe you can think about your presence here from the perspective of God, as if your life that God created and redeemed and loves and uses is somehow unimportant or somehow unnecessary if its global impact is not immediately visible to you. Paul says your presence is necessary, if only that you are one part of a larger body, and God put you here. And since this is true, it's also true that if one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice with it. You know, sometimes it feels like the things we talk about here can be far away from you. That's when your presence is most needed. Because maybe it's your challenge that we need to hear, or your pain that needs sharing, or your question that needs asking. Maybe if you don't think of yourself as one of the strong ones, that's actually the reason you are one. You don't always know your gifts, which is why you are part of a community here. God knows each one of us as a part of a community because we are not sufficient in ourselves to know God without each other. Sometimes when we feel like we're too strong, we ignore the grace that's in front of us. Sometimes when we feel too weak, we don't even care to look for it. And that's why God always brings us back together, because we are a part of a body. And none of us is sufficient to do this by ourselves. That's why we need each other. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. response to the Word of God, let us confess our faith together. The words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us join together in prayer. Holy God, we wander here by different ways, but we are looking for the same thing, even if we don't always know it. We're looking for healing or hope or meaning or encouragement, all of which you give in Jesus Christ, your Son. Make us a part of his community here, that together we would bear one another's burdens in prayer and fellowship, celebrating with those who celebrate, mourning with those who mourn, working together to spread the love and grace of your coming kingdom. Be with us in our prayer as we join our hearts with yours. Lord, in your mercy. God, we rejoice with our brothers and sisters in this place of worship. We're grateful for the encouragement of your word, which tells us that we are never alone. We're grateful for hands of welcome that draw us through the door and lead us into friendship. We're grateful for the opportunity to serve our neighbors here in this place, those who are hungry, those who are looking for shelter, those who are struggling to cope with natural disasters. Bless the work of our hands, all that we do, our worship, our work, our planning, our mission, to your glory in Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy. God, we remember those who cannot always be here with us, but are no less a part of your body. We pray for Sally Wester as she recovers at home, for San and Mary Dover. We ask your blessing on Dick and Jean Lowry, and Greg and Valerie George. We remember all those close to us in need of your healing and ask that your Spirit would remain with them to offer hope and encouragement, healing and peace. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, we remember those who are mourning or alienated or alone, some who we know, some who only you know. Pray that your loving kindness would cover all those who feel far away from others. We pray that you would help us as your people to extend such gifts to others that your body would grow until that time when Christ Jesus would be all in all. Lord, in your mercy. God, we pray for this community in our city, particularly those who are vulnerable. Those who are new to this place and have no community to support or welcome them. Those who are looking for work, or even while working, struggle to pay bills, buy food, or receive medical treatment. We ask your special blessing on those who sometimes feel far away from us, but are in reality very close. We pray that you would teach us as your people how to love and serve them. Lord, in your mercy. These and all our prayers we offer in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. As his people knit together in the unity of his love, we pray with one voice in the way Christ teaches his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, in our giving, we confess that all that we have belongs to you. And no matter what we give, we know that in your hands it becomes the grace and love of Jesus Christ. So we ask that your Spirit would bless us in our giving as we commit again to your way, that we in our faith to you would find you and open the world to your grace and love in Christ our Lord. Amen. No matter where you come from, no matter who you are or your differences, whether you're weak, whether you're strong, know that you belong to God. God has put you here, and because of that, you are infinitely valuable. So go in the knowledge and peace of God, and may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.